what we're going over is, originally I was going to make a four-part series on related to just young mothers, okay? And I think this is important for those that are young mothers, if you're expecting, but I think also majority is not expecting, right? But I think still, nevertheless, this is something maybe still good to go through with this, because the reality is this, at your church or your family and friends, as you have young little ones, I love looking at Zoom, seeing Emery eating his food, Izzy over there just smiling, putting her hands up, okay? And Emma earlier, like with her cheeks, right? Just so adorable. And Timothy just walking off, okay? Timothy actually reminded me of one of the kids at Good Time Learning. He's like 5 years old. Looks like a five-year-old version of little Timothy. It's just so adorable. And his name is Victor, okay? And I always think, like, man, this looks like Victor Jr., okay? One of these days, I'm going to have to ask permission to take his picture, okay? And then thinking about Emily, okay? And I look at my daughters. The reality is this. As we have all these kids, someone in your life will probably go to you for what? Advice about being a mom. Okay, so today, that's why I want to go over this. It's more about preparing for motherhood, okay? And normally, I do my work, right? You guys know that when I prepare sermon, I do the work. I hope you guys realize that, or it's maybe hopefully it's evidence. But this, actually, the study is actually different than most in the sense that I didn't cheat, but I had a good reference called Nancy Ruth Lee, okay? So my wife was actually very instrumental in helping me, because why? I don't want to talk about motherhood, and I'm not a mother, but just also as well with this, okay? So I think it's helpful just to know these things also as well, because in let's just say, in a scenario that I'm using for this is actually for biblical counseling, is also to be available for someone. What happened when they're ready to be a mom? What would you say? What are the things to keep in mind with that, okay? And today's outline, what we want to go over for our lesson today is really what I would say the three C's, okay, of preparing for motherhood during pregnancy, okay? So this is just a part of a series that I want to do of preparing for motherhood, okay, in different stages of life, okay? What I'm going to cover today is going to, or tonight is going to be during pregnancy, but afterward I want to cover even the early infant days, that kind of thing also as well, and the struggle of going to church with a young one, right? I think some of you guys have been through that road before, and it is very hard to go to church with a kid, okay? In fact, I think if I were to ask my wife, the hardest time ever to go to church in our entire life was probably when they are what? Infants, newborns, okay? Talk to me. Raise your hand if that's true for you, okay? I think that was definitely seeing how hard it was for my wife to leave the door. Was like, wow, that was the grace of God. And yet, we want to talk about that, okay? And various parts, and also attending church, that kind of thing with kids. But for today, we're going to be looking more for during pregnancy. And again, right now, like I said, some of you guys might not be pregnant and say, hey, this is irrelevant, I don't need to pay attention. But also, as we go over some of these things about consolation and what God requires of us, there is impact for even for those of us that are not right now pregnant, right? But yet also for parenting in general. But nevertheless, keep in the back of the mind that other women, younger women, those maybe in life stages before you, following after you, they'll be seeking you for advice. And this is something I think is good to have as a link, even in the future, say, hey, I'm going to go teach them something, you know, what could I say, right? And then you could just use that and then go as a springboard to teach and to encourage and to exhort and counsel, but mainly hopefully to encourage, okay? So today we're going to be looking at this, okay? What I say, the three C's, okay, of during pregnancy, okay? And these are, I want to go over the challenges, because young mothers need to know that, okay, the challenges of during pregnancy, the consolation, that is the comfort from God, okay? And also the commitment. That is what we're supposed to do in terms of what God wants obligation from us, okay? So these three C's, I want to go over that, okay? First and foremost, there's the challenges, yes? Okay? There's the challenges. The first part in just writing this is I wrote down morning sickness, okay? Morning sickness, okay? Some moms, though, don't have morning sickness. And what I mean by that is they have what? All-day sickness, okay? All-day sickness. And even if a mom does not have any sickness the first trimester, for instance, that doesn't mean the second trimester they don't have morning sickness or all day sickness or evening sickness or whatever else you fill in the blank, okay? Or that doesn't even mean also as well if you're two trimester you're safe, that doesn't mean the third trimester, right? Because some moms, man, the third trimester, everything gets really difficult and even more uncomfortable, right? So that's the challenges, okay? The other challenge also as well is discomfort, right, with a pregnant belly, okay? And also concern maybe about weights and appearances and even the fear of childbirth, okay? Those are the real challenges, okay? Any other challenges you guys have that you guys could even unmute and even throw out there so I could even beef up my outline the next time I teach this? Any other challenges that you guys want to share? Also as well, Nancy, you look like you're ready to share anything? Okay. Nancy, you remember going through this a month ago? 2 months ago? Okay. Yeah, my wife remembers. We prepared this together 2 months ago, okay? Although she might say she prepared 9 years ago when we were first pregnant. Okay? Anyways, anything else to add? Ooh, challenges? Okay. If not, let's go to consolation. So those are challenges. Pretty common one, okay? And this is the part where the meat of our study is really the comfort. And by the way, I think as a Christian life, because our life is driven by God's grace, right? Obedience is always driven by the grace of God as our motivation. That's why I want to go over consolation or comfort first in light of the challenges, and then later on what we are to do, which is the third part of the C, which is commitment, okay? So with the next part that we have, well, the next part we have is consolation, okay? What could God's word console us with the challenges and difficulties of the season of motherhood in the days of pregnancy? Number one, we need to remember the child in the womb is a gift from the Lord, okay? Straight up, just the thing that with all the challenges, I think we must put in perspective that a child in the womb is a gift from the Lord, okay? Let's turn with me real quick to Psalm 127, verse 3, okay? Psalm 127, verse 3. If I could have Chris Chan, would you be able to read that out loud for us? Unmute and read that out loud for us. Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3.
Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him.
Yeah, beautifully stated, okay? Here it says what that sons, that is what, male child, right? Is a gift from the Lord, okay? And the fruit of the womb is a reward, okay? So we see here, my version says children, okay? Because it's not just only a boy, okay? Says that they're actually a gift from the Lord. So I think in light of that, I think the first line you see, it's very clear that a children is a gift from the Lord. But I love how the second line clarify. Like some of us could think, oh, it's a blessing once they're no longer in the womb. Once they're a grown adult, okay? Because sometimes you even hear young mothers in struggling say, oh, I can't wait till my children are older, that kind of thing. But if they're older, that means also we're getting older, okay? But here, nevertheless, you see in verses 3, the second line shows what time and what season that is, okay? The season of that is what? The fruit of the womb is a reward, okay? So continuing how that's a gift from God, it's during the time of even when they are what? In the womb. That it is a child is a blessing. Listen, it's not just only when they're grown up, when they're taking care of you, when they're rolling 6K after they finish Harvard, what, medical school, okay, or business school, whatever. It's also when, even when they're in the womb, it's already a precious gift from God, okay? So we need to keep that in perspective, okay? We need to keep that in perspective. And I love how even in the Hebrew, right, it says behold. I think in our English version, not all of it has that. And that's a call attention to say, hey, it's almost like snapping a finger and say, hey, this is important. Don't miss this. Don't downplay this. This is important. Pay attention. Focus. The truth of God is what? That a child is a gift from the Lord even in the days when they are in the womb, okay? So find comfort with that, okay? So how does this apply? Let's just say you're a mom at church. There's a young woman that just got pregnant, got married, is pregnant, and they're going through a lot of trials and difficulty when they call. One of the ways to encourage, and by the way, all of us are called to be skillful with God's word, okay? It's not just only pastors that's called to apply God's word, all of us, okay? In fact, I think sometimes if we do it just as another brother to another brother or another sister to another sister, right? That's even more encouraging because it's not like, oh, Jimmy has an agenda. That's his job. He has to do it. But it's also we go alongside, right? The church is not just a pastor going up there in a dog and pony show. But you as another mom you saying this verse and saying very gently, saying, "Hey sister, I know you're going through a lot, but keep this verse in perspective. You know what? That this child is still a gift from the Lord." That's what God's word says. That's God's interpretation. That, guess what? It says the fruit of the womb is a reward. Okay? Is a reward. So I think that goes much more deeper than if it's coming from myself, for instance. Okay? Again, there's a place that all of us play. But you moms, knowing this verse helps us to be encouraged. And also to encourage and disciple and also biblically counsel other moms. Let's see, the second point of consolation or comfort is this. Knowing that you being pregnant, God is accomplishing a great work through you. Okay, it's not just only the child is a gift from the Lord, but this verse teaches also as well that when you're pregnant, God is actually working through you. Okay, God is actually working through you also as well, even when you're pregnant with child. Turn with me real quick to Psalm 139. Okay, if you guys can, turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, okay, verses 13 to 15. Edward, if you want to be so brave as to unmute and read verses 13 through 15. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 15.
You formed my inward part and knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearful and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Yeah. It's an incredible psalm, okay? Psalm 139 is encouraging us with many attributes of God. For instance, that He's all-present, that He's, what, all-knowing. He knows things before it happens, before we says any words out of our lips, okay? All that is meant to encourage the Christian life. But also, in this context, what these we've seen in these verses 13 and 14, is also God's incredible work of what? Creating a physical human life, okay? God creating a human physical life is incredible, as you see in this verse, okay? This verse attests that it is amazing what God does in creating a baby in the womb. And you shouldn't forget that if God's working in the baby in the womb, there would be no baby if there was no what? Mother, okay? If there cannot be any baby being formed, humanly speaking, unless there's a mother. So be encouraged that God is actually working through you. Okay? God is working through you. And I think that's incredible. Even non-believers recognize the beauty of that, right? Even non-believers, when they tell people, "Hey, you know what? I'm with child," people generally get very, what? Joyful, happy, and celebratory. By the way, I know we don't want to downplay the sin of fornication. That is sex, or relations outside of marriage, okay? But at the same time, even in the midst of sin sometimes, right, where people, because of fornication, they have children outside of wedlock, outside of marriage, nevertheless, that child is still a precious thing, okay? I know it's a very hard line to walk, right? Celebrating the birth of a child or a life being brought about, and yet also as well, okay, hey, there's a serious sin. But still what we see in this passage here, listen, what we see in this passage here is what? That knowing that you're pregnant, for those that are mom, God is still accomplishing a great work through you. Okay? God is still working and accomplishing a great work through you of bringing human life. Okay? And that should be incredible. Okay? I'd encourage you guys. Okay? Actually, sometimes with moms, I think it's a good project to do is what? Go out there and actually read up all those medical journals or articles or even a medical textbook of just how incredible a baby in the womb is. In fact, I was recently reading a book on just the first part is embryology. A lot of it is about the human biological aspect of us being formed in the womb. And I was just blown away, okay? Even non-believers are blown away with just how incredible complex that you and I could be formed, right? For instance, even the fact that our eyes were being formed inside, you know, our eyes is actually more proportionally disproportional when we're born, okay? Our eyes are actually more bigger. Then our rest of our body later changed, right? Like most of the part of our body is kind of proportional, not really, right? Our arms is a little shorter than what it later would become, right? But nonetheless, it's just amazing just to think of how we're formulated. And it's so unfortunate the book later on, after the first part of just the incredible thing of like, wow, God's working, and then saying like you were in the womb and all that, then the next part of the book is like, okay, abortion is okay,
you know, what we shouldn't guilt trip. It was like, oh, whoa. You just went over all these objective scientific things, and the next part you get crazy liberal on us, on the readers, okay? But reading this, what I'm trying to say of all of this is that it's incredible what God is doing inside the womb, inside, quote-unquote, the stomach, right? Or the tummy of the mom, right? A little more technically correct, right? So be encouraged knowing that being pregnant, God is accomplishing a great work through you. Here's also a third encouragement. In light of all the challenges of young moms that is going through pregnancy, the third consolation or comfort is meditate and or memorize the truth that God cares for you, okay? That God cares for you. I think it's a verse worth memorizing. I think it's worth memorizing for all seasons of life, but how much more so for those that are going through this season of being a young mom while pregnant, with all the challenges that follows, comes with it. Okay? 1 Peter 5:7, Victor, could you be able to read, unmute and just read that out loud for us? Is that okay? 1 Peter 5:7. Yeah. Notice God's word very clearly states what? That God cares for us. And therefore that's why we could cast. The Greek verb there is to throw. Okay. We put all our anxiety. We could get rid of it. We have the human responsibility of getting rid of it. How? By taking it and giving it to God. Okay. Sometimes people try to cast off anxiety in unbiblical ways, right? They try to numb themselves, play video games, whatever else. But that doesn't solve the problem the way it does, like when we take it to God, okay? So you want to catch your anxiety in the right way, otherwise it come back with a vengeance, okay? In terms of how you are even more anxious, okay? Where it comes back sevenfold, etc. So here you see in this verse, we need to meditate on God's truth that He cares for us, okay? We need to meditate it. It's good to memorize it, okay? I also gave a link, it's worth clicking sometimes, expositing this verse of how is exactly you could apply this verse about dealing with our anxiety. For most of us, we're worried even without pregnancy, right? How much more in the midst of everything else in life, when a mom, a new mom especially, is now carrying it with a child, right? So here we need to memorize that verse and other verses like it where God cares for us, okay? I love that. Let's go to point number four in terms of consolation. Okay, meditate and or memorize that God is with you. Okay, that God is with us. Okay, turn with me real quick to Isaiah 41 verse 10. Let's turn to Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Oh man, Izzy, you're eating ice cream. Is that chocolate ice cream? Okay. I need to get ice cream after this, okay? Isaiah 41 verse 10, okay? Isaiah 41 verse 10. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This is incredible. Isaiah, with all the midst of all the prophecies, with everything else, and even a strong condemnation of sin and everything else, here is a comfort for those who are believers. The comfort for the believer here is what? That God says that He is with us. Because He is with us, notice it says we could say, do not fear, right? It says we should also not even be anxious, okay? And because God is with us, notice what God does. It follows from the fact that God is with us, that He will strengthen you, okay? And He'll help you. And He'll uphold you, right? That He will not let you go away, melted, right? And that means that we got to trust in Him, that He is with us, okay? We go to Him in prayer, yes, but we could go to Him in prayer anywhere and everywhere, in all places, because what? He is with us, okay? The other encouragement is also keep the pregnancy in perspective, okay? This is where my wife was helpful, okay? In bearing three of my kids, this is what she made a good point of comfort for her. Is keep in mind that pregnancy is also what? Not forever, okay? Pregnancy is not forever. Human pregnancy is usually for how long? About 9 to what? 10 months, okay? Technically, my wife is saying is 10 months or 40 weeks, okay? And I think also that keeps in perspective, okay? That it is not forever. So even when you're going through that season, it is not forever. Fortunately, by the grace of God. And by the way, there's also some animals out there that actually have longer time period of pregnancy. I think elephants is pregnant for, what, 2 years, okay? 2 years. Could you imagine? 2 years, okay? I think giraffe is like a long time also as well, okay? But if you ever see, like, I mean, elephants or something else, right? Like, man, like, you know, imagine an elephant carrying a baby elephant. I mean, baby elephant are huge, okay? They're pretty big, okay? Even giraffes, you ever see those videos? I mean, giraffes, I mean, ah, man, I'm glad I'm not a baby giraffe, right? Talk about the drop, okay? Talk about how far it drops. You ever see in National Geographic, right? When they're finally, it's a long time pregnancy, and then when it gives birth, it's like that baby first thing is, bam, the trauma of life falling on the ground. And then eventually a little bit, and then it's going to start crawling up and start walking. I mean, it's just so traumatic. Okay? By the way, human baby birth is also pretty traumatic. You guys realize there's like a 20 to 30 degree Fahrenheit change from inside the mother's womb to outside. There's like a 30 degree drop, okay? I mean, I don't know if you guys ever been in like a very hot day, and all of a sudden you just fly to another country and it's like 30 degrees lower. It's pretty wet. Pretty dramatic. Okay, I remember when I was in Iraq, it was 130 degrees. That summer was like the hottest in like years. You know, 130 degrees. Then when we got to Kuwait, and I remember all those Marines in Kuwait that were like support, logistical support, they didn't go to Iraq. They're saying, oh, we're sorry, the air conditioning doesn't work. It's only at 85 degrees. And like, wow, that big drop was incredible, okay? And then getting on the airplane was even more freezing. I mean, like, the air, you know, airplane is air conditioning. And then coming back in September in San Diego, when it got so cool to 70 degrees, it was like, whoa, it was almost like we were wearing sweaters, right? We're putting on heavy jackets because it was like, wow, 130 to what? 70 degrees. That's like 50 degrees change, okay? I bring this to say it's also human body also as well. I mean, just a traumatic experience of all of that. But still, nevertheless, remember, it is not forever, okay? It is not forever, okay? So keep that in perspective. I know for my wife, when, you know, we thought very likely Hannah would be our last, but I think my wife was able to just even enjoy that pregnancy more. I know that's hard to say. But putting it, what, in proper perspective. Hey, this is bearing my child. I'm not going to go through this season again in my life, okay? Maybe some of us are hard to grasp, but I think that's where, man, I don't know. Sometimes Nancy just kind of blows me away with that, okay? But just keep that in perspective. It is not forever, okay? It is not forever. Other truth to keep in perspective, you also can't worry about all the what ifs, right? Because sometimes part of pregnancy, people are wondering, right? Oh, am I healthy? Am I eating okay? And everything else. What if this happens to my child? What if that? What if that moment where, oh man, you know, I didn't eat as much of this. I didn't eat or much of that. I didn't have this. What? Well, we got to be responsible. But there's also, you need to keep in perspective of what? That you can't worry about all the what ifs, okay? Though all the what ifs is infinite, right? It's massive possibility what you can invent for yourself. Yet also, well, point number 7, know ahead of time that people will also say all kinds of crazy things, okay? Isn't that very true? When people are pregnant, people all of a sudden feel like they have a right to give you an advice, true or not, okay? By the way, I also think it's also interesting that people, once you're pregnant, suddenly your body is not yours, right? You could go to a grocery store, and suddenly everybody feel that, you know, that public domain of the tummy, right? People could touch or whatever else. Is it true? It's almost like, hey, what's going on, right? Before that, it's like, hey, your body, whatever else in our world. But once it is, people feel like, oh, man. And then feel, and it's almost like, sometimes I also feel when people are pregnant, it's almost as if they have a Charlie Brown sign. You know the Charlie Brown, where someone has like a help for 5 cents, right? They feel like suddenly you're like a psychologist, a therapist. They could go to you with all their things. Like, oh, you know what? I lost my child. When I was, we had a stillborn. Then all of a sudden they come and share things that sometimes are very intimate and very, very personal. And sometimes I think, unfortunately, and sometimes people give all kinds of what? Advice that's not necessarily always helpful. So in light of this, I think the encouragement here is what? Know ahead, I think if you know ahead of time that, A, not everything people say is helpful.
And that people will say crazy things. I think knowing is half the battle, okay? Knowing is half the battle, okay? And just be ready that people will say all kinds of things, including things like, say, oh, you shouldn't have another child. What are you doing? You're dumb. You're silly. All of that, okay? So I bring that as to say that it's important to keep things in perspective, okay? That people will say crazy things. And we just sometimes have to, you can't control the other person, right? You don't want to be the person that is so mad that people know right away they can't say anything at all. That's not the place to be. Even then, people will still say a crazy thing. So just realize that as half the battle, okay? Point number eight as a comfort is also have a biblical view of what? Of beauty, okay? Proverbs 31, verse 30. I think we often know this verse about, like, beauty is not everything. But remember in the context, this is talking about what? This is talking about a mother and a wife, okay? In the context of Proverbs 31, it's talking about a godly mother and a godly wife. Proverbs 31, 30, this is what it says. Charm is what? Deceitful. Say deceitful. Okay? Deceitful, okay? That is what? Charm lies, okay? Beauty is in vain, okay? Beauty is in vain. And a woman who, notice the strong contrast, but a woman, right, who fears the Lord, she shall be praised, okay? So we need to also put what? Beauty in perspective, okay? I bring this up to say with this verse is that when people are pregnant sometimes, their body change. They're not going to be looking what? Like what they were before. They might not be as super skinny, okay? Here it says what? Remember that charm is what? Deceitful. Beauty is in vain. So that does not mean physical beauty is all bad, okay? The word for vain here is the idea that it is fleeting, okay? What I mean by that is it's breath. Literally, beauty is breath. What I mean by that is you breathe out on a cold day, right? You see that breath breathed out. It only appears for a little bit, and then it is what? It's gone, okay? Notice the verse here is meant to be an encouragement for mothers, not to be depressed, okay? It's not meant in authorial intent to be discouraging, but it's to be encouraging to say, hey, focus on things that do last, which is what? Godliness. And there is a godliness that is very beautiful in a woman, okay? Even if you're old or whatever else, I think this is what we need to keep this in perspective, okay? Also, the verse in context is meant to be an encouragement for mothers, because two verses later, what does it say? It says, her children rise up and blesses her. Her husband also, and her praise, he praises her, saying, okay, so you see here, this is supposed to be meant for mothers, okay? Not just only a wife that doesn't have any kids, which in other parts of the world, that's probably harder to imagine, right? Because most of the part of the world is like, oh, if you're married, of course you're going to have kids. Almost the default. But I know in our culture, in the West today, that's not necessarily the case, right? People's, women's career, that kind of thing. But here we see, definitely, for mothers, and for wives, hey, it's okay. Keep this in perspective. Beauty is for a little bit, okay? So even as for sisters who are pregnant, it is okay. Our body will change even for men, right? Sometimes dad has what? The sympathy belly? I think that's what Nancy calls it, right? With the husband, okay? But realize, hey, we will change, okay? You don't want to look like... Please don't be a mom that looks like a stick. I'm going to buy you a $6 burger from Carl's Jr., okay? Because it's just like, oh, okay, hey, come on. You know, like, hey, this is where, what? You know, this is part of, with that keeping beauty in perspective, okay? Point number nine related to this is what? Weight changes is natural and is healthy, okay? We need to say this, okay? You guys know my mom is originally from Laos. And I know my mom told me when we were little, like, hey, you know, the beauty in America, the standard of beauty is different in different parts of the world. You know, the standard, I know for us in the U.S., if you drive around town, you'll see there's something called like tan center or not burn center, tan, what do you call it? Mm-hmm. Tanning, okay? Where people want to look dark. And I remember growing up, my mom was saying, why would people ever want to look darker? Wouldn't you want to be lighter, right? That's why you look in Monterey Park when you're driving, right? You see those moms that like have like, you know, like they have this windshield. The car already has a windshield. They have another shield, right? And then they have what we call long gloves, right? And then it's like anything, they don't want anything. They want to look as pale as, I don't know. Pale as the moon, that's what Nancy says. But you know what? And, you know, I realized the standard is different because in Laos, my mom was saying like, hey, you know, every little girl is going to be tan because what? Every girl works in the field for the peasants, right? So the people that are light skinned is what? Is privilege, okay? And my mom was also saying, like, yeah, the standard of beauty there in Laos is a little more thick, right? By the way, when you look at a lot of statues, you remember when you took, like, archaeology or, like, social science when you're in school in elementary? Remember, like, they always show, like, fraternity and maternity thing where they, it's always, like, the statue of a woman is what? The standard of beauty is always really what? Nancy says, how do you pronounce it?
Voluptuous,
right? Like, it's, like, over-exaggerated. Like, why is that? Okay, you know, and my mom was also telling me, like, yeah, this beauty contest in Laos is, like, the women are, you know, big white elephant, okay? You get the idea, okay? And that's because what? It's just the standard is different. And I think one thing, what I'm trying to say with this observation is this, is there is a part, yes, culture plays in the beauty, but I also think, in light of also this is also as well, is that, you know what? Being a mom, it's okay with all the worries if you're pregnant, your body's changed, and that should be normal, and that should be healthy, that mom should look different, okay? You should not be those that you're trying to be a little 13-year-old. You know, I'm so glad I married my wife. I don't want a 13-year-old teeny bopper, okay? That's just gross, okay? That's just weird, okay? So you don't also want to be those people that's like 60, 70 years old and still say, hey, 60 and 70 is the new 20s, right? And then you don't know your age and you put on those horrible blue lipsticks or whatever blue things they're trying to blue to be you. You know, you also need to realize, hey, you know what? You want to be what? Your age with the beauty that follows. So in this encouragement, what I'm trying to say of all this, in the midst of all the jokes and everything else, is what? Weight change is natural and beautiful, okay? And find comfort in praying to God about your pain and worries. Okay, let's go to that part. There's also some part that's also very real about pain and worries. So find comfort praying to God about that, okay? As the 10th encouragement. 11th encouragement is also, pregnancy is a beautiful time in your life. It's a beauty of a different season, okay? Yeah, it is. I think that's important, you know? I treasure those times when my wife was also pregnant. I think the beauty is a different kind, but I think it's also realized with that too, okay? 12, also have the church pray for you. That's also another form of comfort. Have the church pray for you, your child, your pregnancy, and all your delivery, all your worries, all of that, okay? By the way, most people are generally excited for you being pregnant, usually, right? In our church, right, usually you think about prayer meeting when someone says, oh, you know what, I'm going to graduate this semester. People are just like, oh. You know, I mean, you always have people that kind of be like, okay, because, yeah, well, everyone graduate college. Or that's the assumption in our social economic circles, okay? I remember, you know, by the way, that also shouldn't be taken for granted. I remember when I was in the Marines, it was unfortunate that I met with some of the Marines alumni that I served with many years later when one of our Marines committed suicide from PTSD. Okay, some of the commenting. I remember some of the Hispanic Marines, now we're much older, were saying like, hey, you know what? One of the guys were telling me, you know, like he's more like a cholo kind of Marine. So he's like, you know, I went to like my cousin's, you know, like his graduation, and like, it's so cool. And he says, but you Asians are something else. Like, you make me ashamed. Because, you know, here we are with our signs when, you know, they say, you know, Rodriguez, I don't know, Lopez, and we're like, wow, celebrating everything all the time, going all crazy, and then all of a sudden, we're all celebrating, and then all of a sudden, you Asian kids, you graduate with your summa cum laude, and your dads are just sober, like, like, you know, when's grad school, and we're like, and then I feel ashamed, like, we're just barely making, we're just happy, and I was like, hey, man, don't feel ashamed, like, man, that should be also a challenge for us, we should be thankful, we should not take it for granted, right, talk to me now, and bringing this to say is this, when we talk about prayer, sometimes when we ask people to pray, praise report, other people don't praise, but generally, when you look at churches, usually, right, when people say, hey, I'm pregnant, is there a lot of good response? Probably the most joyful response. Talk to me. I also think sometimes when you say, hey, someone's saved, at least for me, when going to our church, when I say, hey, you know what? Raymond just said he got saved. Praise the Lord. People, yeah, wow, praise God. But versus when we say, hey, you know what? Noelle is pregnant and she has a child. It was, yeah, where's the baby shower? And all of that, okay? So in light of, what I'm trying to say is this. In the midst of the time of pregnancy, it's also a time when you say to someone, hey, pray for me. People are just, yeah, praise God. When's your baby shower, right? When can we both celebrate, okay? When's the baby come? So in light of that, that's also time to say, hey, you know what? Of all the prayer requests people have, people I think generally are happy to pray for you. And I think most people don't see it as a burden. So in light of this, go to the Lord and pray and ask others to pray for you. Also, your anxiety, the baby's health, right? Your own health. People are generally excited in the church to pray for you. Even those that are not moms, even those that are moms and grandmas, everyone, the pastor, everyone else, right? And by the way, when you say you're pregnant in our church, is the pastor excited? Am I excited? Yes. Because I think of all the potential of youth group, right? And all the VBS and all the thing is like, wow, there's another person to disciple, right? And everything else. It's just happy, right? I mean, just the church with running around all these little kids, right? All these little minions, all these little Edwards and Margarets and Chris and Nancy's and Victor's and Wendy's. Like, oh man, it's like awesome, okay? It's a holistic ministry, okay? I'm so glad. You know what? Can I say this? I am, you know, like yesterday night someone was asking me, the question is, okay, what are you teaching? And I was telling this guy on my blog what I'm doing. And he's like, what kind of pastor? Are you a youth pastor? Or are you like, what kind of pastor? And I say, I'm an English pastor. You know, one of the things I love about our church ministry in a small ethnic church is I'm not just a youth pastor, right? I'm not even just the adult pastor. Like sometimes you see in other churches they specialize. I love the holistic thing because that's real life, right? I love on Sunday after Friday afternoon with Victor. Thank you, Victor, hosting. Hey, let's work with the teens to talk about disciplines of a godly man. I love even little kids, and we haven't done it well for couples meeting. Let's go through teaching the kids, right? Going over, I love that challenge, right? I love it because and that's real life because it helps me teach my daughters more for homeschooling. Okay, you might say, oh, he's so selfless. No, it's not. It's also for my own training to teach my kids well, and I'm experimenting with your kids. Okay, but anyway, I bring this to say all of this, right? We should be joyful with a real life church life, celebrating with different people's seasons and chapters in their life. Okay, all of this encouragement leads us to the next point of commitment. With all these things to encourage us in the season of during pregnancy, yet God also requires things from us. But notice we lay down what God wants from us first, and then now we, or what's God's grace and help first, and then we go over what people should do. Okay. So even with those of you guys that are not pregnant right now, I know some of you guys are seasoned veterans, right? If you guys wear a military uniform, you guys have like rows of medals, right, and like ribbons and stuff. You guys are like decorated out, okay? But what you guys could do, even with other moms that are new moms, moms who are pregnant, these are things to keep them reminded of commitment. That is, things that they should be doing, okay? Number one, you know, sing to the child in utero spiritual songs, okay? Sing to them spiritual songs. You want to start being faithful to God early on, sharing God's truth with your child, okay? You want to be early on, sharing them with their child early on, okay? I want to encourage you guys with that. Singing to your child. By the way, you guys know that there's studies done. Kids that if you read to them in utero, they don't understand everything. But you know what? When they come out, there's a sense where their learning ability is much more higher. I don't know if you guys realize that. And by the way, even with children, after they're born and they're around physically with you, that you can see them, do you guys realize that kids, when you read to them and you sing to them, at an early age, I'm talking about those young newborn age, their ability to be do well in school later on in life goes tremendously increase. Did you guys realize that? That doesn't mean they know everything, right? When you tell them, right? So I was with my young daughters at one point in my life. I was like, I started reading them Van Til's Apologetics, right? I was hopeful one day they'll know Greg Bonds. But anyways, but all I'm going to say that, you know what? Why it's helpful is actually they associate. In their brain, in the like neurological studies, they associate reading and singing with the parents showing love. So their love for reading and all of that increases later on, their ability to learn. So this is where, don't just wait until they're born. How are you going to do it if you're not already regularly doing it even right now for those that are pregnant in utero, okay? So sing to them, read to them also as well, okay? Discuss things of how are you going to figure out things for those that are in utero. You want to also talk, let's just say your mom, to other younger moms. Encourage them with questions. How are you going to feed the baby, okay? You'd be surprised sometimes people don't think about it until you start talking to them and sharing your experience, right? Will you nurse them, use formula, both that kind of thing, okay? Third application question of commitment. How do you plan on changing babies? Will you guys use disposable diapers, cloth, that kind of thing, okay? Good discussion to have, okay, ahead of time. things. By the way, knowing earlier also means that what baby showers, you get things accordingly. Okay, better to plan than not plan. Okay. Fourth thing is figure out the question: what are the roles of your parents and parents-in-law? Okay. Don't just waste that time of like, oh, 9 months, I'm just going to be working, which is fine. But also figure out things like, hey, what is the role of your parents and parent-in-laws, okay? Are you going to keep them as outlaws, or are you going to keep them still in grace, okay? Things like that, of that nature. Okay, another application question is, who will be at the hospital when it's time to deliver the baby, okay? I remember when Nancy was giving birth, that was like the first child born at T6 English Ministry in what, 8 years or something? Some crazy number, I think. I don't remember. Do you guys remember this? I don't know if you guys remember this. I was in seminary. I still remember this because I had a I had to turn in an assignment for an Old Testament class and New Testament, okay? And I remember it was funny because the New Testament, talk about New Testament being about grace. They were like saying like, oh, you know what? Turn it in 2 weeks. And I already finished the paper. I felt guilty. Like, this guy is showing me so much grace. And he says, the teacher's already telling me, no matter what, you're going to get 90% an A, okay? And I was thinking, what if I do a bad job? Like, I was guilt-driven, like, with so much grace. And then the Old Testament professor, which is actually, my wife and I went to the hospital at 1 o'clock, which is actually the time where I was supposed to be in class, okay? And then he was telling me, I don't understand, how come you didn't email me? And I was thinking, whoa. And he was telling me, you know what, the highest grade you can get is 70%. I was like, whoa, what if I did a good job? Like, you know, but my wife is giving birth. And the professor literally told me, I'm not going to say his name, okay, he's still around. You know, like, he's like, you weren't giving birth. And I was like, whoa, what is, like, then later on I found out, like, he never had kids of his own. They only adopt. Okay, I was like, but then even then, like, Old Testament, like, talk about, like, law, right? Okay, anyway, sometimes when you go to Grace Community Church, the other side of the church, when you go in, it says law. I'm just joking, okay? Let's go back on with that. But with that, the commitment, I bring up is to say with the commitment, is also figure those things out. Oh, no, my screen went back blank, okay? So figure that out with the commitment of the role of the hospitals, okay? And I remember even with Nancy giving birth, if you guys remember, it was on that Tuesday night, or Thursday night, or whatever it was, Thursday night, it was Bible study. Victor told me, or my sister told me, like, Andrew was trying to teach, and Andrew was like, you know what? You know, one of those rare times in Andrew's life, he says, I don't really feel like doing a Bible study tonight. Because I want to go see them. And then, oh, okay, remember that? And it was like, you know, I remember even Oscar showing up, but that's another story another time, okay? But with that all said, okay, is you want to figure out who's going to be there ahead of time, okay? Figure that out ahead of time. And even saying, explaining things to people sometimes ahead of time, okay? With things, okay? Other things to figure out also as well, is also as well, questions like even whether you're going back to work and, you know, care of the child and accommodating the baby and all of that, okay? And there are potential problems that need to be discussed and worked out, right? With you and I think there's also a time to even have the obligation to read books preparing for marriage, okay? Preparing for marriage, okay? I think preparing for marriage, not preparing for marriage, preparing for kids. I think preparing for marriage, preparing for kids is the same. Like, you know, as much as you prepare, you're always going to be what? Surprised, okay? You can never be fully prepared. But at the same time, that weird conundrum is that if you don't prepare at all, it's also like, whoa, that's not what? Good, okay? So I actually think like having kids is almost like going to war, right? It's like you should prepare, but you can't prepare for everything. But then if you don't prepare at all, that's also like, whoa, that's really bad, okay? So nevertheless, I also think those times, the season of even being pregnant is also a time of what? Being prepared, reading books, okay? I gave links to different books on parenting that I recommend also as well, okay? So even as a mom, if you're already a mom with younger moms, these are things you could use this outline to go over them. You know, put your fingerprint on it in the sense of making it your own, things to add or moving things around to make it better organized with that, okay? And also, if you are a mom that's pregnant, these are things to keep in mind, even with each child, whether it's your first or your last, okay?